Hey everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course I've got Mike Dell with me, and I'm in the Convo by Design studio in Columbus, Ohio.
I said I'm here in the swampy basement studio in northern Michigan. So,
and you know, I just, as I walked in here today, I'm like, man, I can't see Mike, so I'm going to order a webcam for this computer in here, so at least I can see you. But for the audience today, we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to have some news, some stuff going on with Pocket Cast and others. We're going to talk about some best practices. We're going to talk about a new partner at Blueberry. Got a great interview for you. And we actually use double ender technology to record that one. We can actually talk a little bit about that. And then some support stuff. But Mike, what do you think? Pocket Cast is now free. They made the swap from semi-paid to free.
Well, it's free in quotes, because really what they're doing is the freemium type thing. So now there's a pro version of that. And by the way, if you hear dogs in the background, that's because there's dogs in the background. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
But not much I can do about that. But anyway, I used Pocket Cast a long time ago, so I ended up buying it. And then I quit using it. They did a major overhaul, and I wasn't impressed with it. And now it looks like they're kind of getting back to the way it was. So I'm giving it another try. But I think they have a $9. I was reading in here, but there is an upgrade for Pocket Cast Pro, I think they call it. Or Plus, Pocket Cast Plus.
Did they go to a monthly subscription, or is it a one-time dealio, or what?
It looks like doesn't say if it's a monthly or not. But it was originally $3.99, and if you bought the desktop app as well, $9, and it was a one-time fee. And now they're going to a monthly. That's what it is. And if you bought the $9 desktop version, you get that for 3 years free, the plus version for 3 years without paying for it.
So you know what that really means, don't you? It means they've run out of new customers. Yes. And they're trying to figure out how they're going to stay in business.
They saturated the market, as they say.
So. You know, and considering their percentage of market share, you know, you wish them luck, but wow, what a way to have to make a change. To basically upend the model. And I understand some of their $9.99 customers are not so happy either, but this is what you do when you figure out that the business model that you have created doesn't work. And that actually might even lead to another story. The Podcoin folks at podcoin.com, they figured out their business model didn't get enough traction, and so they're shutting down.
Yeah, well, who would have thought that paying podcast listeners to listen would be a bad business model? I'm sorry. I shouldn't be snarky. But
and they were using some sort of micro coin payment too, right? Some cryptocurrency thing, yeah?
Yeah, they were trying to make a some sort of cryptocurrency. I really didn't investigate it a whole lot because, to be honest with you, I'd never heard of them until they announced they were closing. So
I wonder if those that have gotten some of that cryptocurrency are going to be able to cash that cryptocurrency out, or is it just going to go into the ether?
I don't know. They're shutting down on September 24th, if I'm not mistaken. That's next week, Monday, Tuesday, something like that. So, I don't wonder if they're just going to flip the switch and it's gone. So I don't know. They have a really small, you know, short blog post just saying Podcoin must go. And they announced that they're shutting down on the 24th. So
if you've got any Podcoins, cash them out now if you can, or if you ever could. I don't know. I didn't investigate it either. And because from the get-go, I had my concerns, but, you know, it's just an ongoing saga of companies that come and go because
they're trying stuff.
Well, they are, you know, throwing stuff up at the wall, but it's too bad, honestly. But because it was supposed to be another way podcasters get paid, and we like it when podcasters get paid.
Certainly, and that's the name of the game. You know, try stuff, and if it doesn't work, admit it and move on.
Yep. So the New York Times, they hit 1 billion downloads.
Yeah, the podcast The Daily, which is New York Times, you know, daily news-ish podcast. They announced that they've hit 1 billion total downloads. So that's pretty good for one show that's only been around a couple of years.
Yeah, that's an incredible number. I really think about it. I've, you know, doing my show for 15 years and I haven't hit 1 billion downloads. So it's that's a really amazing number. But you know what, they should be, if anybody could reach 1 billion in a couple of years, the New York Times should be able to.
Certainly.
I would think.
It's been the most popular podcast in Apple Podcasts several times. It kind of swaps top spot with a few other podcasts, but so it is a very popular show. So
another show that I've never listened to.
Yeah, it's okay. The host on it, you know, either like his style or you don't. He has a definite style to him. He kind of reminds me of a Paul Harvey-ish type style.
Well, I like Paul Harvey style, so.
Yeah, so. But yeah, like I said, it's an acquired taste, I think. I've listened to it a few times, and it's not terrible.
Yeah. Well, today is the big day. Something we've all been waiting for is the update to iOS 13.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I've been kind of refreshing because I want to check out the new Apple Podcasts app.
Yeah, me too.
And it's supposed to be, you know, not radically different than the old one, but there's going to be some new stuff in it. And then there's some new search stuff in it that we've heard about. So yeah, I'm looking forward to checking it out. They split iPad OS out, and that's not launching until like the 30th. So,
I think there's a reason for that. And I'm here that there's going to be another update to iOS on the 30th too, because of Apple TV.
That could be. Yeah, I think that's what that's coinciding with the Apple TV Plus launch, which is kind of Apple's new Netflixy sort of thing.
So, well, we'll see. And a lot of the changes that people have been making to their shows is going to show up in this iOS update, including all the new categories. And well, some of that's been implemented already, but we're going to see the full breadth of changes to the Apple Podcast app, which is still the number one way people listen to podcasts. And
And I've been experimenting, like, you know, with Pocket Cast now coming out as free. I thought I'd try that again. I've been using Overcast and also the iOS podcast app from Apple. And I gotta say, you know, the Apple one to me seems a little annoying compared to Overcast.
Well, Overcast is pretty popular, and a lot of people are big. You know, that's why it has as big a market share as it does. But if you look at the scheme of things, it's still.
Oh yeah, you know, you gotta, and especially in our business, we gotta look at all of them. I have an Android tablet here with every possible Android app on it because I have to see how things look in all the different apps.
That's right, because someone will call us and say, "Hey." Yeah. What's the deal here? And actually, we're
actually we talk about that in the support section today.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. I'll wait then. So let's move on to best practices. Let's talk a little bit about stats. And you've got a note in here because you made this note. What number is the most important number to track?
Yeah. And so many people, you hear them quote, you know, I've got 7,000 downloads per month, or I got, you know, 50,000 downloads this week or whatever. And it's a cool number. It's a good for bragging rights, just like New York Times there having the 1 billion total downloads. But that's really not a useful number. It's cool, but it's not a useful number. Really, the most useful number for you tracking your growth and tracking how many people are actually listening to your show, or at least in theory are, is the total per episode downloads.
That's right.
That's really the only stat that really matters. Because that's the number of devices and people that have engaged with your show.
And you know, you can say, for example, if I did 10 episodes and I said that I had 1,000 downloads for the month, well, that's really 100 per episode.
Maybe.
Which is, you know, maybe, you're right. So it's not that that's an issue. It's just, you know, it's more accurate to know what your audience size is by the number of downloads you have per episode. And if you pay attention to that first 24 hours, that gives you even a better idea from a trending standpoint, you can look at your trending chart on in the stats to see how your first 24 hours looked. And those are generally mostly
subscribers.
Subscribers, people that are have subscribed via a podcast app and have automatically downloaded your show. There is going to be some people that are mixed in there that are actively played, or some people have come to the website. But I think you're going to see the large majority of the stuff in the first 24 hours are the podcatchers. And what you really need to, if you really want to get a detail, is you look at look into that first 24 hours that you published. And actually look at the apps that are and the ways people are listening to your show, and add that up, and you get a pretty good idea of the number of actual subscribers you have versus listeners that are coming in later that are hitting play, that are actually subscribed to your show. So I think this is something that we all need to do on an occasional basis, to look at those and see where that number's trending over time, and hopefully that number continues to creep up for everyone.
Certainly. And also, don't obsess about stats. That will drive you nuts. So many people, when they first start, do that. I did that. How many downloaded this hour? How many downloaded that hour? And it's cool to know, but if you find yourself, waking up in the middle of the night and checking your stats, you may have a problem.
So, that's right.
Don't obsess.
Let's talk a little bit about Blueberry News. And the most important news of the day is that, did you know you can win 1 year's free of podcast hosting with Blueberry right now?
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, so we're celebrating International Podcast Day, and you can go to our website at powerpresspodcast.com, or you can go on our Facebook or Twitter streams and look. And really, the requirement is pretty simple. If you've got an idea for the keyword is new show in your existing, or well, most people listening to this are probably existing podcasters, but if you are in a new existing or new podcaster, all you have to do is submit a 1 to 5 minute audio or videos entry. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us what this new show's about. Then on International Podcast Day, we will award one show a year's worth of free podcast hosting. And with that, you're going to get a 2-hour one-on-one consultation with me at your convenience. You're going to get a cool starter mic. And of course, the hosting. And then at some point, after you get a few episodes in, and we'll probably work with you on this, you'll actually get promoted and we'll do an interview with you here right on this show. So definitely go to powerpresspodcast.com, check out the details. Mike will probably put the link to the Dropbox folder that you have to upload your entry into in the show notes.
Yep, we'll do that for
sure. That's a way to win a cool prize. But other than that, we've got a new Blueberry partner.
Yeah, we partnered with AudioTech, and that is a podcast editing service. I don't know a lot about them yet, so Todd, why don't you tell us what's going on with that?
Yeah, so it's real simple. We partnered with them. We've been real careful to partner with audio editing groups, and we're actually in the process of vetting a second one right now. But, we want to make sure that you're in good hands and that the audio content or quality is really kind of at the standard where we think it should be as far as having someone that does editing of your show. So we partnered with AudioTech. You get 20% off by mentioning Blueberry when you contact them, and then you'll find information on the partner page at Blueberry about this company. And so if you're looking for someone to kind of take over editing duties for your show, they can do it. And they're going to remove the ums and hums and make you sound really, really sweet. I'm not going to go into pricing. You work that directly with the AudioTech folks. I feel they're reasonable. So definitely check them out. We'll have a link to the press release and hopefully to the partner page as well.
Yep, and let's see, Audio Burst, one of our other partners, we're doing a webinar, show you how to use and what Audio Burst is good for. The link to sign up for the webinar will be in the show notes. It's going to be, what is it, September 25th. It's a Wednesday. And what time? 3 o'clock Eastern time. So even if you can't make that live, sign up for it, and you'll get a video afterwards, or at least a link to a video.
Yeah. And the cool thing about this is a lot of people don't. Yeah, you're getting the transcript for free, but there's a lot more tools that AudioBurst has. And it is just as it sounds, AudioBurst. You can create social media, a little burst on social media. They've got some great tools. Again, it's all free for you to use. You don't have to pay a third-party service for this. And they're going to show you how to use all the AudioBurst tools on Wednesday, September 25th. Again, the information will be in the show notes today at podcastinsider.com with the link to register for the webinar. Now, we're going to get some of this squared away soon, Mike. We're not going to have two sites. We're not going to have PowerPressPodcast.com. We're not going to have Podcast Insider. These are all being rolled into Blueberry.com. And while the two websites will ultimately resolve to the master content, there's going to be just one site to send people to. And our long-awaited, I guess for a better word, merging is finally happening.
Yeah. Well, what it'll be is, you know, before PowerPressPodcast.com was kind of our company blog and where all the podcasts came from.
Yep.
And the ultimate plan was to roll that into a page off of Blueberry.com itself. And in the interim, we spun up this website and this domain, you know, to start this new combined show. But eventually we wanted to roll that back in, and that's going to happen fairly soon, I'm told.
Yeah, fairly soon. And then it'll be transparent because you'll come to Podcast Insider, you'll come to PowerPress Podcast, and all the content will be merged together on a single page. And I will be very happy. And I hope the Google gods will be as well. So Texas PodCon has just kind of popped on the radar. I'm going to be down there. I believe it is October 25th. And it's 2 days, I think, 25th and 26th.
Yep, in San Antonio.
San Antonio. I haven't been in San Antonio only once before. And looking forward to going down. I'll leave out of here Columbus on the 24th and be down in San Antonio. So if you're in Texas, Jennifer Navarette is running the conference. Definitely sign up. I want you to come in and hang out. And I've got, I guess I'm going to be speaking on topics du jour. So come on down to Texas PodCon at texaspodcon.com.
Yeah, I spent 6 weeks down there in basic training in San Antonio. So
as a reminder, you can be interviewed on this show. You don't have to be a longtime podcaster. You can be someone that has just gotten started. As long as you have a Blueberry customer, you can be interviewed on this show. And we've been opening up, saying this every podcast. Hey, if you want to be interviewed. So I'm not going to rattle the bushes too hard. If you don't want to be interviewed, then ignore what I'm saying here. But all you have to do is send an email to todd@blueberry.com. Mike@blueberry.com, Mackenzie@blueberry.com, and one of us will interview you. If you have a preference, send it to one of the three, and then we'll get you on the show. But this next interview we're going to get into is with Tim O'Brien. He's got a show called Shaping Opinion, and it's about people, events, and things that have shaped the way we think. It's a pretty interesting show. His last episode was Breaking into Auschwitz. He had a show on September 11th talking about the Pentagon story, which was, very compelling. First-hand account by Captain Bill Totti, a retired naval officer, joined him to discuss his experience. He's got a wide variety of content. So we're going to go into his interview, and then we'll be back with talk about support. Everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. I have Tim O'Brien on today, and Tim is the voice behind the Shaping Opinion podcast. Tim, welcome to Podcast Insider.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be here.
As a way of introduction, why don't you give the audience a little background about you, a little 411, and tell me about the show and what it's about and you know, just kind of give us those details.
We launched the podcast in March of 2018. I'm a public relations person by trade. So the title of the podcast is Shaping Opinion, but it's not a PR podcast. It's a, for lack of a better term, it's a general interest podcast, but I come at it from a direction of my expertise or comfort zone. So it's about, the tagline for the show is called, it says that the show is about people, events, and things that have shaped the way we think. And I like to further describe it as something that's at the intersection of communication, culture, and history. So we kind of bring those three things together in most every episode.
So you've been doing your show, as I understand, it's March of last year, of 2018. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep.
And you're pre-recording your show, so you're fast approaching 100 episodes. So you've made it over the initial 25-episode hurdle. Now we have to get you to year two. So how has the how's the show been so far?
It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. It's been great on every level. I've done other things with as part of my, I own a public relations business based in Pittsburgh. It's a corporate consulting firm. And I've done blogs, I've done videos, and I've done things like that. I started my career in radio, so I always had this thought that I'd want to get back into something radio-oriented just for fun. And what I ended up doing was becoming an avid podcast listener. So for the past year, I had hoped the podcast would be a great creative outlet, and it was. I hoped it would help my business from a marketing standpoint without being a direct marketing tool, more of an institutional branding tool, and it has been that. And I've wanted it to take me into new areas, to meet new people, and to create new opportunities, and it's done that too. So it's really been great on every level.
So being that you had, you know, this background, did you come to an inflection point where you decided, let's try podcast, or what really was that genesis moment for you to start that?
It's funny because I've listened to your podcast and I've heard other people say it too. And I have to say the short answer for me was, this is the podcast that I was looking for and I couldn't find. So I decided to create it. That almost sounds cliche now because it's, but it is true. And what happened for me though, the long story is, I got into podcasts a few years ago from a listener standpoint, and in the back of my mind, I don't think I ever listened to a podcast without thinking, I'd like to come up with an idea someday that I could do. In my case, radio was my first love. My first job in the communications field was in radio. I worked at the NPR station in college. Then I worked in commercial radio and TV in my first years and moved into PR. And all the years that I've worked in PR, I've worked in other media. I've worked with television. I've worked in television, video media, print media, blogs, digital. And when podcasting came along, I just became hooked as a listener. And I kept trying to think, you know, what can I do? What would be the podcast that I'd want to do and that I could do? So I followed this process that I use in my work for clients in creative development. And it's a real simple process that's anybody that's worked with a PR firm or an advertising firm might be familiar with. And you start off with your objectives. What's the objective of this project? Who is my audience? What's my strategy for connecting with the audience? What's my message? How am I going to implement it? How will I evaluate it when it's done? Those are the things you kind of factor into your planning. And I started doing that when I started thinking about a podcast. And every time I did it, the process kept telling me to do a PR podcast, a how-to podcast. But I don't know what your experience is, Todd, but mine has been, if you're not going to get excited about it, it's not worth doing. It's not going to make other people connect on their end. So I write about PR in blogs, and I write for trade media about public relations quite a bit. But what I wanted to do with the podcast was something that would interest me, and that goes back to what I said. I was looking for, I liked true crime. I liked the programs and podcasts like This American Life and Fresh Air. I liked those types of programs, and I thought, is there anything out there that is like that, but sort of takes a communications hook? And I couldn't find it, so that's when I decided to create shaping opinion. And when I do this with clients and with other projects, I always try to shoot the idea down. I always think, well, why won't it work? Once you have the idea, you start putting it to the test. And I kept trying to shoot this idea down. I looked at the URL, shapingopinion.com, and I found it. And I thought, well, okay, that's not a problem. I have a good name for it. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, I don't know where the tagline came from in the process, but it came out of it. And I liked the tagline because it was a description of what I wanted to do. And that became a mission statement. And from there, it just, everything that I thought of an excuse not to do it wouldn't happen. And I thought, well, I've got to do this podcast, and I've did it. So that's the genesis moment for me in the long story.
You know, it's amazing that you found shapingopinion.com. I just can't believe that domain was actually available. I think you got real lucky on that.
I did. And not only do I have that domain, but I also have shapingpublicopinion.com. So if you would type in shapingpublicopinion.com, you'd end up at my podcast.
Yeah, that's, you know, and it's so hard today with a lot of podcasters trying to find, first of all, find a show name that's unique. Number two, finding a URL that goes along with it. The new top level domains have helped us a lot with .show and, you know, all these other, you know, non.coms that you can buy, but you still have to worry about, you know, looking at a show name to make sure that you're really not stepping on someone else's show name. So there's probably a whole topic right there alone on podcasting for podcasters that are, you know, aspiring ones. And some people find out the hard way later on. They find, oh, I name my show the same as another active show. That usually can be challenging. So let's talk a little bit about who you've had on the show and, you know, what have you derived from them and what do you think your audience has derived from these guests?
I've had a pretty wide range of guests on. And that's become a benefit and a challenge. The challenge is because one of the first things you see when you read about how to have a solid podcast is to have a niche. And my niche is communication, but I don't restrict it to one industry. So I've had a Nobel Prize winner on. Her name's Frances Arnold. I had Apple's first marketing guru on, Regis McKenna. He was the advertising and PR guy who started working with Steve Jobs when Steve Jobs was still in his parents' garage. So I had him on early on. I had the FBI agent on who was on the scene in Shanksville after 9/11.
Wow. His,
Bill Crowley, and he told his story of how to handle crisis communications. Another crisis communications scenario was the day President Reagan was shot. And I talked to Sheila Tate, who was the first lady's press secretary, who had to jump into action that day and do crisis communications at the White House. So she told her story. So those are kind of the intense stories that we've had on. But we've also had marketing stories. We've talked about the new Coke. We've talked about Prince. We've talked about the story of bluegrass music. Another one that had a lot of interest was the JFK assassination. We talked with the forensic pathologist, his name's Cyril Wecht, about that. He's studied that case almost since the beginning, since 1964, and he came on the podcast and talked. So we've had a wide range of guests on. We told the story of Santa Claus in a biography form. And I talked to an NFL super agent, Ralph Sindrich, who talked about what it was like to deal with NFL teams and players as a super agent. Each time I talked to someone, it was always, okay, here's what you did, but how did it go over? And what impact did this have on the way the general public sees things or thinks?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think back to even stuff that happens within our own company a couple of years ago. We had, and it wasn't a really aggressive hacker. We had someone that had found a bug and sent us it was actually not like a ransomware type of demand, but it was like, hey, I found a bug. here's what you need to do to fix it. Can I get a bounty? And in you know, I'll take it in Bitcoin. And you're taking the situation, you're thinking, okay, if I don't pay, this could turn ugly. And number two, he was nice enough to be nice enough, you know, and what do you do in that situation? And, you know, it was even though it was an internal thing, I said, you know, the guy found a bug. You know, we should have a bounty reward program. Let's pay, even though you know, it wasn't that bad, but it was still something that we had to take care of. Now, you know, I, of course, I'm thinking to myself, what would have happened if, and how would have I handled that? So I'm sure people run into, you know, have situations that happen all the time in their companies, their life, where they can probably have takeaways here on how to deal with the unexpected, or maybe it is even the expected message that you have to deal with, something that's forthcoming.
That's so true. It is true. One of the first case studies we talked about in this podcast, and anyone in the PR field may know about it, it's back in 1982, Tylenol had a poisoning problem in Chicago. Oh, yeah. And seven people died, I believe it was seven.
Right.
And it was poisoned, tampered with Tylenol extra strength capsules. And that is now a classic PR case study, because Johnson & Johnson at that time, the owners of Tylenol, did what nobody else had ever done before. They recalled every Tylenol container in the country. And they took a huge loss, and they did the right thing, and they apologized, and they were very forthcoming in their communication. And that is now a PR case study on how to handle crisis communications. So we broke that down in an early episode. We looked at some other crises too, some different ones. Another one, about 10 years ago, Domino's had a problem on YouTube. Two of their employees tampered with food, and that video on YouTube became viral. So we broke that situation down. What would you do if two of your employees were caught on video? Well, that was 10 years ago. Now that happens to companies and organizations all the time. What did you do, Todd, when that happened?
Well, I think if I think back to Tylenol, you know, well, I think what Tylenol did was right. But if you also think about the packaging now, you know why you have to go through like five layers of protective stuff to get to your actual Tylenol pill, because they took that to heart and fixed it from not only a PR standpoint and taking stuff off the shelves, but they also essentially fixed the product so it was tamper-proof, or you would know that the product had been tampered with. So in that case, I think, you know, that was, you know, they fixed it. But, you know, Tylenol is still a great product. But as far as employees, well, heck, you know, I have to be careful about what I say sometimes. So it could be me. you know, I think today in the world we live in, you have to be, you know, you have to be on top of things right away. You have to come forth and explain and apologize, and if necessary, terminate. You know, and you have to do this in swift order, but you know, you have to also keep the employees' rights in mind and make sure that, you know, you're going through due process that you have within the company's HR standpoint. But, you know, it's tough today because, you know, people live online and it's hard to monitor everything.
I think the balancing act, and I run into this with clients, the balancing act oftentimes is, when do we really go aggressively public about this? Is this going to settle down? Is this not going to happen at all? Or do we have to go out publicly and get on top of this? Because you know, when you go public with it, you're going to face some adversity.
Sure.
So the question is, do you wait or do you do it now? That's always the question, and every situation brings a different answer.
Yeah, I think it also depends on if it was done on company time, company car, company custody. You know, there's all these factors that go into any kind of a situation that comes up with an employee action doing something, or an employee being caught on video by someone else. Again, I think you're right there with the viability of the way things are today. Some things will be, you know, you may go into a panic, but only 1,000 people may watch the video. Whereas on the other hand, it could be 1,000,000 people. And then you have a real problem.
Right.
So talking with, as an example, and I'm kind of curious on the Apple, go back to the person you talked to from Apple. How, you know, was that more about the story about what happened in the, you know, the fast growth of Apple, or was that the, you know, what was the takeaways from that particular episode?
Regis McKenna, he's someone that I had actually had contact with prior to me starting the podcast, and I thought he'd be a great guest, and he was a great guest. And I think what the takeaways were, Regis told his story. He told how he met Steve Jobs. he told his story about how Apple was in those early days and how they really how they approached marketing and how some of the things they did at Apple and also some of the other work he did. He was also one of the early marketing people at the company called Intel and also Genentech. So those were some of his clients that he helped put on the map. It wasn't just Apple. And I think the big takeaways were, and we talked a little bit about branding, because a lot of times people talk about branding as though you need a logo, you need a tagline, as we talked about earlier. And they think that's branding. And one of the things that Regis said, and his work has reinforced it, is a brand is not something you really create. A brand is something that your customer creates and puts on you. So what you have to do, in a sense, you create a good product or you provide a good service. You make sure that service is reliable. Maybe it's an innovative product like Apple. Whatever it is, you have to stand for something. And when you start standing for that thing, whatever that value is, and the customer gets it, that becomes your brand. But the brand is the relationship between the company and the customer. It's not just something the company wants you to think or wants you to see. And that's what we talked about a good bit. One of the ideas that Regis had that he told us about on the podcast was, this was when he had his notes when he was talking to Steve Jobs, before Steve Jobs was famous. And Regis wrote in the margin of one of his notes, Apple stores. He had the idea for having Apple stores someday. And that was before Apple even grew. And so he went back to his notes and kind of laughed a little bit about some of the things that were possible and that became real eventually.
You know, I was reading through the notes that you sent me, and the diversity of content you have is pretty broad. Having been prior Navy and spent 25 years active duty, I knew a lot of people that were in the Pentagon as well the day that 9/11 happened. And matter of fact, lost a friend from that, was an officer that had worked in a group that I had worked with. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, you know, it's you win some, you lose some, and that day we definitely lost some good people. But you had a discussion with a Navy officer who was in the Pentagon. What was his? Was he a PR person, or was he just there?
That's a very good question. That episode, as we're talking today at the end of August, that episode will come out before 9/11 this year. So it hasn't been. I haven't posted that one up yet, but definitely he was a Navy officer at the time in the Pentagon, working for a very high up admiral. And he has a very, very interesting story about how they knew that there was a plane heading towards the Pentagon, and they started to speculate where it might hit. Well, actually, they didn't know it was headed towards the Pentagon. They knew it was headed towards Washington. And they started to speculate on where it might land or what it might hit. And he actually spoke out loud. He thought, it's going to come to the Pentagon because this is a big target with a lot of people in it. And 2 minutes after he said this, they heard the engine of the plane getting louder and louder and louder as it came closer to the Pentagon. And he talks about what goes through your mind at a time like that and what went through his mind. And before long, he was out on the lawn right after the plane hit, trying to save people and rescue people. And he had a very, very moving story. And the episode is almost an hour long. I usually go 30 to 45 minutes, but in this case, we talked for an hour. And it was a very moving episode from my standpoint as a host. I don't know how you feel, Todd, when you do some of your interviews, but some of them are very emotional, not only for the interviewee, but the interviewer. And that was me in that case. So I made a promise to myself that there are certain things that I'm going to do. And if I can, somewhere around the anniversary of 9/11 every year, I want to have an episode with somebody that survived that.
You know, and it's really an event that, lends to your show name and shaping opinion, because if we think about that day and how it is, you know, fundamentally you know, politically, privacy-wise. It just hits on so many different levels how it's changed America. I think a lot of people that are, you know, maybe a generation removed, and maybe by a generation I mean 10 years removed, don't really understand, you know, why, the how and why some of these things came about, and how things were prior to a 9/11, and how it just, you know, if you think about it, you could go to Canada before with a driver's license. You didn't need a passport. And, you know, that's just one small thing. It changed because of 9/11. No more. You had to have a, you have to have a passport to go to Canada. So, you know, it's just many, 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 many little things that affected and has really kind of probably shaped America's opinion on a whole variety of different topics.
One of the things you just said is reinforces what this Navy officer said to me. I asked him why. When did you start communicating on this? When did you start talking to people about your experience? And he said it was 10 years after, before he started to talk publicly about it. And that's when he started to realize that people were forgetting it. And he decided it was part of his life's work now to make sure people didn't forget it. So it reinforces what you just said.
You know, for me, from my perspective of that, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but really it was a, it started a whole series of events of a, you know, a phone call, waking up, and then, you know, a few days later getting on an airplane and heading to the Middle East. And there's a whole series of events that happened to me personally that really was an effect of 9/11, having been active duty at the time. But, you know, there's a couple of great books out there if people want to really kind of understand, you know, the what happened in the season after 9/11. There's a good good story out there. It's a good book called Not a Good Day to Die. And it's about the day of Roberts Ridge and us having lost a SEAL that day, which ended up resulting in two military folks getting the Medal of Honor from that specific event. But, you know, there's all kinds of stories that go out there that are just, you know, literally thousands of them, and families affected as well. But, you know, moving on here from that particular topic, how's your audience response been? I'm always curious when you get into these deep topics, and then what's the reaction been from your listeners?
It's been very good. It's not of that size that a lot of podcasts have. I would say I get a few thousand downloads a month, give or take, depending on the number of episodes, because sometimes I'll have two episodes in a week, and that definitely increases the number of downloads. And it also depends on the topic. There were a few episodes that I couldn't quite predict it, but the one I did on the JFK conspiracy really spiked listeners that month. Another episode I did around July 4th of this year, it was the story of the United States flag, the American flag, and that really resonated with a lot of people. And then there were a couple others that I didn't quite predict would have the number of downloads. Like I did one on the history of Hershey chocolate, which had an unbelievable number of downloads, and one on the Battle of Little Bighorn, which had a large number of downloads. So you have those types of episodes that spike it. But I would say on average, I get about a few thousand downloads a month. And for me, though, the reaction is more about who I'm talking to and what they're saying to me. Because, as I said, I couldn't find this podcast, and it was one that I wanted to listen to. And this is an extension of my firm's marketing. So what I really wanted to know is if people that I work with or would work with would listen to a podcast like this, because my logic was, well, if this podcast is one I'd listen to, maybe it's one that my clients would like. And that's been the case. And that's probably where the feedback has been the strongest, because the people in my industry have started to take notice. It won an award this past year, the podcast did. The Public Relations Society of America has an awards program called the Silver Anvils and a Bronze Anvils. Those are the highest awards they give. And this one here won a Bronze Anvil honorable mention this year, second place in the podcasting category. The first place podcast was a branded podcast from Jack Daniels called Around the Bear On, and yep. Shaping Opinion came second to that. And so I view that as positive reinforcement. And it's actually a pretty similar podcast in format to Around the Barrel. It's an interview podcast, and it's not just as Around the Barrel is not around, not always about alcohol and spirits. You know, this isn't all about PR. So that's pretty much been the approach. And I every now and then I hear from people that I never expected to hear from. I did an episode on a topic that was a serious topic. And I got a call from an editor at a big national newspaper who just wanted to talk about it. They didn't want to correct me on anything or whatever it was that sparked them to get in touch. And they sent me an email, and I sent them an email, and we ended up talking on the phone for about 45 minutes about that episode. And that's really been the rewarding thing about doing a podcast. I'm connecting with people that I never thought I'd connect with. In addition to downloads, in addition to awareness, and people in my industry now, when they talk to me, and this has been a year in the making, but people now will say, "Oh, you're the guy with the podcast." So it is starting to, I guess, make a difference as far as my awareness level in my business.
Well, congratulations on the award. I was at Podcast Movement in Around the Barrel. The Jack Daniels team sponsored an evening event. And for speakers and folks that were sponsors, and it was real nice. And they did it was a good job on them promoting it. So it sounds to me like you're in good company. But I think, you know, what I found really universally over time is that, you know, you started this really from ground level. You did it for yourself. You're doing it for yourself, but it's also helping your business. At the same time, now you're starting to get a little momentum. And I often tell podcasters, you got to give this a couple of years to percolate. It takes a little time for a show to kind of, especially if it's brand new, to kind of start to bubble and to pick up momentum. So I think what you'll probably see, and this is just me predicting here, is that over the next year, you're going to really find out what this show is capable of doing, because it kind of just takes a year to kind of get going. And then at the same time, you've done 90 some interviews. Well, now you probably have found your voice, and even though each interview may be a little different, is it getting easier and better to direct the conversation now?
Yes, definitely. And I definitely appreciate your feedback and your insights on that, because as you've been doing this for so long, and you kind of know how these things cycle. But definitely, it's gotten easier. What I thought it would be, I was open-minded, so I was open to changing. But what I thought it would be when I started and what it is are a little different now. I didn't expect it to be more as much of an interview podcast. I thought it was going to be more case studies at first with interviews, and it's turned out to be the other way around. It's more interviews where we tell stories as it makes sense, but it's not rigidly adhering to a single case study as I thought it might be. But it is definitely, it's getting easier. It's getting more fun. I'm finding ways to be more creative about it. The episode I did this week, I was able to include three other podcasters in the episode in a creative way. I interviewed Martha White. Her grandfather is E.B. White, who wrote the books Charlotte's Web, Stuart Little, and he was a famous writer. And she came out with a new book of his on democracy. And so we had an interview about that. But E.B. White also wrote poetry on democracy. So what I did was I had the hosts of Swindled do a reading. I had the host of Far From Home do a reading. And I had the host from the Pretend podcast do a reading. Each one of them did a poem reading. And I featured those poems throughout it. So that's probably something I never would have even thought of a year ago. And I'm adding those types of things to the podcast now. So yes, it's getting easier and it's getting more fun. And I think it's getting more creative as time goes by.
And that's an interesting way to involve another podcast. We'll be eternally grateful for their opportunity to be on your show, and we'll talk about your podcast. So hopefully they'll reciprocate and you'll get some time on their shows as well. But I think that's brilliant, a brilliant move. Oftentimes I tell podcasters, if you love a show, talk about it. Let them know that you talked about it. But a very unique way there of including some additional content in your show. we're nearing the end here. What's the best way for folks to reach out to you from the website, to your social media contacts, all that?
People can listen to the podcast and reach me at our website. It's www.shapingopinion.com. They can send me an email, tim@shapingopinion.com, or they could get in touch with us on Twitter, and it's very simple, @shapingopinion, or Instagram, @shapingopinion. Any of those ways are easy ways to get a hold of me, and I love to hear feedback. I don't know about you, Todd, but and I've heard other podcasters say this too. They tend to hear more from people when they want to correct you or complain about something, but they don't always have. But I welcome anything, even if they have a constructive criticism. I'm open to it. I'd love to hear from people.
You have one of those shows that's timeless, and I think what I'm going to do is go back and start at episode 1 and work my way through. It sounds like a very intriguing show, and definitely something that can sink your teeth into. But Tim, thanks for being on Podcast Insider, and good luck with your show. And it sounds like you've got something unique there, and much success to you.
Well, Todd, thank you very much, not only for your having me on your podcast, but for all that you do for the podcasting business and industry, because it's I don't know if people appreciate fully the kinds of things you've done for the industry, and a lot of it's so selfless. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. And thank you for being a customer as well. But all right, everyone, that was Tim O'Brien on the Podcast Insider.
Mike, very compelling podcast. And I like what Tim is doing there, growing a show. And his approach, I think, has been fantastic. But I hope you enjoyed the interview. Definitely send us your email and your thoughts and comments about what we've done. And don't forget, if you haven't subscribed to the show already, make sure you get subscribed, okay?
Right, and I was using the special double ender technology you were talking
That's
about.
That's right. Tim recorded. Tim dropped out a few times on my side, and I said, Tim, did you record that? And he says, yeah. I said, okay, send me your file, and Mike took my file and merged them together, and we have a single show. So very, very cool. All right. So let's talk about support. Some things are going on there. What's happening in your world, Mike?
Well, as we were talking about earlier about, the different apps having, showing things differently. Well, part of that problem is that RSS is a standard and there's different tags for different things, and you can add different tags for different things. But the problem is you can't force different apps to show certain things. So like in PowerPress, you can, if you want, have an iTunes summary field per episode. Apple Podcasts will use that, but Overcast may not use that and other things. So it may still use your blog post. And I've been getting a lot of tickets lately about that sort of thing. Well, I don't want my entire blog post to show up in X app or X directory. Well, we can't help it because the tag for your blog post, the main body of your blog post is going to be in the RSS feed. And if an app chooses to use that, they're going to use that. And there's really not much we can do to force it. I wish that I could get across to people that really the best policy is put whatever you want to show up everywhere in the blog post or the post for the episode if you're not using WordPress. But, the main body of the post, the show notes, the blog post content, whatever you want to call it, if you put whatever you want to show everywhere in that, you're covered. Then they don't have a choice. And it'll be a lot easier for you to, put it this way, it drives a lot of people nuts. we don't want to drive people nuts, I just think that if you make it a policy to just put it in the blog post, whatever you want to show everywhere, and let the apps do what they want. Truth be told, most podcast listeners find a podcast, they hit play, they stick their phone back in their pocket. They never see what you wrote. They never see what's in the app. They probably won't see your webpage unless you give them a compelling reason to come there.
Yeah, unless you tell them like we do to go to podcastinsider.com.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, as far as frustration levels, I get it. You know, it is frustrating that, you know, if you're trying to do something special, you know, okay, I want to, you know, I want Apple to only show this in my show notes or episode notes. Well, you can make Apple just show that, but you can't make everybody else follow what Apple does. That's the thing. You know.
So, Mike, as much as you're a Superman, and as much as you guys do on a daily basis, I don't pay you 24 hours a day, do I?
No. And I need to sleep once in a while.
So that's right. You need a little sleep. And same with Sean and Dave, too. You know, And Sean and Dave are both contractors, so I really can't dictate hours to them. You know, we kind of have an idea when they're going to work and be available. But if you email support at 3 a.m. Eastern, probably no one's going to read your email or see your ticket at the earliest between 8 and 9 a.m. Eastern. So if you email again at 6 a.m. saying, where the heck are you? How come you haven't responded to my ticket? Or you're pounding on social media. Remember, Blueberry is still a relatively small team. There is typically three people manning support and not all at the same time. And then there is yours truly and Mackenzie or Mike, even you kind of monitor social media. And, you know, we get the stuff as we can. We're not superhuman because I'm still trying to build a company here and we're trying to take care of all of you at once. So, you know, the contact form on the website is truly the best way to get through and get in the queue to us to guarantee someone is going to see your ticket. And if you, you know, if you've sent five tickets, it's probably going to do nothing more than annoy the team a little bit. So we understand that you're trying to get something done or maybe you're having a hard time publishing something. Believe me, we want to help you as quick as we can. But we're not, you know, we're not a company that has $21 million in revenue every year and, you know, has 10 support people. We just don't have that here. So, you know, we're smaller and, but we do our best to get to you. I know you all know that. And I know at times even I can be impatient with companies if they don't respond, but the world is not going to implode. You'll be okay. I hate to say that way, but because people are saying, no, you have to listen to me now. And believe me, I understand the impatience, but we try to get to you within 24 hours during business week. And likely the same on weekends. Obviously, generally, it's much faster than that, but that's what we try to adhere to.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, I don't want this to be a big complaint section of you know, every podcast, but, you know, we had a couple instances this last week where, you know, some very impatient people, you know, were blasting us on social and everything. Yes, that'll get our attention, but we... Please don't do that. Just give us a little time. We will get to you, I promise.
And being in the Blueberry podcasting community or the Blueberry group on Facebook, there's a lot of other podcasters there that will often step in and provide some guidance when we're not available. So it's important for you to be part of our Blueberry Facebook group. And that is, you know, your quickest way to get response to challenges. If you're over on the Podcast Movement Facebook group or something like that, well, you're going to get lots of opinions. And most of those are going to be people pitching other services to you when you're just trying to get a question answered. So feel free to email us and let us know and we'll get you set up and as quick as we can. So I think I've killed that dead horse, haven't I?
Yeah, we're all set there, I think. So the horse is not going anywhere.
That's right. Well, we want to thank everyone for tuning in to Podcast Insider. It's our pleasure to bring this show to you. It's going to be a rapid fire of events here over the next week because of the International Podcast Day. We're going to be on twice on International Podcast Day. So definitely go over to internationalpodcastday.com. Look at the schedule over there. You're going to want to join our sessions. I'm going to be giving a presentation about RSS and basically the future of RSS and where we are and where we've been. And it's been well received at two different events I've presented it at. This past weekend at Outlier and the weekend before that at Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference. So, and then Mike and Mackenzie and probably even I will join in and we're going to talk about some best practices. And what did we end up coming with a title of the?
The top things that every podcaster should know about their own podcast.
Oh, there we go. And this is key because we're definitely seeing a lot of people that don't know basic stuff that they should know about their own show. So we look forward to presenting International Podcast. Of course, we'll be here next week with this show as well, next Thursday. And then just boom, 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 lots of stuff. So we'll hope that you'll celebrate International Podcast Day with us on September 29th and 30th. And and that's it. All right, Mike, we're out of here.
Yep. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Take care. Bye-bye.